الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of my faith. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, and some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And of course, those of you who are new listeners or new students to the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic or the subject we're going to discuss will be visiting the sick. Right now, what's going on throughout the world globally is the pandemic, which is, they call it COVID-19 or the coronavirus. It depends on how you want to, or what you want to call it. It's the same thing. And so, in some places, they may not even allow you to go visit a person inside a hospital because they want a limited amount of people inside a hospital, or certain people coming to the hospital to visit, or one person at a time. It depends on the different regulation that the different hospitals have in mind. Or, of course, when a person is sick, the people that are taking care of them may not want so many people to come visit a person, and I understand that part. I'm just talking about just visiting the sick. When you have an opportunity to do so, and I'm going to express to you the why you should do so, and what Islam says concerning visiting the sick. There are many blessings in a person visiting the sick or going to visit someone who is sick. For example, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari visited al-Hassan ibn Ali when he was sick. Ali, radiallahu anhu, said to him, you are visiting him because he is sick, or is it a social visit? Abu Musa said, rather, I have come to visit him because he is sick. Ali said, I heard a messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing upon him, say, whoever visits a sick person in the morning, 70, meaning 70,000 angels will go out with him, and all of them praying for forgiveness for him until evening comes. And when he will, okay, and he will have a garden in paradise. And whoever visit a sick person in the evening, 70,000 angels will go out with him, all of them praying for forgiveness for him until morning comes, and he will have a garden in paradise. And so it just talks about so many blessings of a person and angels praying for the person who visited an angel in the morning, and they pray all pretty much all day to the evening for that person, or a person going to visit a sick person at night, and then they pray until the morning for that particular individual. And of course, the person will have nothing short of paradise in Jannah, in which I talk about a paradise, what happens in paradise, some of the things that happen in paradise. I talk about that in a previous episode. You go back to some of my former episodes and you can read more about paradise. But visiting a sick person, you get a lot of blessings for that. The angels are praying for you. And you're not doing it just for that reason. He's just going to visit his brother, just to go visit his brother because his brother is sick. But then he was informed that the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, if a person visit a person, and all the things that I read to you all earlier. So one of the blessings of a person going to visit a sick person is, of course, the blessing of getting nothing less than paradise and the angels praying for that individual all day or all night for the individual who visit a person who is sick. And also, I read something a while ago, I recall it, that when we visit a person, we only visit them for a short amount of time. Don't stay too long. For the person who is sick, they may not know how to tell you, okay, well, can you go now? I need to go to sleep. I'll catch up with my sleep, or I'm in pain, something like that. You go there, you visit for a little while, see the person, make prayer for them, pray for them, and then you leave. And so that's just advice to you all to when you go to visit a person who is sick. Also, it was mentioned that reported that Allah's Messenger is saying, when a Muslim pays a sick person visit to his brother Muslim, he continues to gather the fruits of paradise till he returns. So just me, for example, going to visit my sick brother, my sick Muslim brother, and I continue to gather fruits of paradise until I return back home. Then the whole time I'm there with my brother or my sister, I'm there visiting that individual, and it's like as if I am gathering fruits of paradise until I return home. And the first one I mentioned is that the angels pray for this person to enter paradise and be one of the people in paradise only because I went to visit a sick person. That's all. I went to visit this person because this person was sick. One time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to visit, I believe it was a woman. He visited her, and she used to always do nasty and bad things to him. And then she saw him. She said, you know, whoa. He said, like, basically, like, why you come visit me? I used to do like so many bad things to you. Say bad things about you, throw things on you, put things in your path so that it can harm you. Why you come and visit me? And it's just the kindness of the Prophet. May peace and blessings be upon him. He heard that the woman was sick, and he went to visit the woman. There's a woman, another woman who was sick, and he found out that she was sick, and he said, okay, let me know, give me the update about this woman, please. And so this woman died overnight. And so they buried the woman. And so the next day, the prophet asked about the woman. He said, well, what is the status of the woman? And they said, well, she died, and we buried her, O Prophet Allah. We didn't want to wake you. We didn't want to disturb you. And so we handled it on our own. And so he immediately went to her gravesite, prayed for her, what it was called a janazah prayer, and he prayed over her body for this particular woman. Let me move on, my beautiful students. And that is also mentioned that the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, he ordered us to visit the sick, to follow the funeral of a dead believer, respond to a sneezer, meaning by saying Yahamaka Allah, and basically you say or Alhamdulillah, and the person says Alhamdulillah. This helps those who vow to fulfill it, to help the oppressed, and to accept the invitation extended by the inviter, and to promote greetings. Of course, greetings, i.e. saying assalamu alaikum. And so, basically, this first part is that we are encouraged by or ordered by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, to do what? To visit the person who is sick, and also to follow the funeral procession. And a person sneezes, and then we say something, and then they say something, and then we say something else in response to what they said. Also, in another hadith by Abu Huraira, one of the Prophet's companion, he had mentioned that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, he said, every Muslim has 5 rights over another Muslim, i.e., he has to perform 5 duties to another Muslim. To return the greetings, meaning I say assalamu alaikum, and the person says it back to me, wa alaikum salam. Or I say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, they say to me, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. And then I might say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, they would say wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This means May the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon you. The blessings of Allah be upon you. I won't get into details about that, but when I say something, you gave me that, or give me that, or more. I say, assalamu alaikum. You say, wa alaikum salam, rahmatullah. You give me what I gave you plus a little bit more. But don't give me less of that, because if I say assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, you cannot say wa alaikum salam. You have to give me wa alaikum salam rahmatullah. There's a little bit of details there, but that's what's owed to another Muslim. And about the main thing that's owed to another Muslim are these five things that I'm getting ready to mention. And one is returning the greeting. Once a Muslim say assalamu alaikum to me, I am ordered to say back to him or her wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and so forth. Also, another duty I owe to another Muslim is to visit the sick and to accompany funeral processions, to accept an invitation, and to also to respond to his needs. Person invites me to something, then I don't have anything else going on, then I have an obligation to go there. They invite me to a walima, for example, a nikah's wedding. So invite me to a wedding, okay, I have obligation to go to that. And then if I want to stay for the walima, which is the sort of the reception after the wedding, then I can stay there for the obligation of the walima, because I've been invited to it. Also, when a person sneezes, I mentioned it to you before, they say something, then I say something, and then they say something again. Or when they give me salam, they salam me, I have salamed them back, and also return the greetings back, and also that I am to visit the sick. That's a duty or responsibility that I owe to another Muslim. And of course, when a person sneezes, Then I say, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim, may Allah bestow His mercy on you. And then I would say, Alhamdulillah, you know, may Allah bless you. When I say, Alhamdulillah, meaning praise be to Allah. And I won't get into details right there, but it's a little detail, that particular thing also. But the main thing is that we have five duties we owe to a Muslim. Do you all remember what they are? Number one, return the greetings. Number two, visit the sick. Number three, accompany a funeral procession. Number four, accept an invitation. And do you remember number five? Number five is to respond to a sneezer or say certain things, and a sneezer say certain things to you. Also, it was mentioned by, again, Abu Huraira, one of the companions of the Prophet. He said, verily, Allah the Exalted, the Glorious, will say on a day of resurrection, this is all of us going to be before Allah. He's going to say this. Pay big attention to this, my students. O son of Adam, I was ill, but you did not visit me. He will say, oh my Rabb, how can I visit you when you are the Rabb of the worlds? Thereupon he will say, did you not know that such and such a slave of mine was ill, but you did not visit him? Did you not realize that if you had visited him, you would have known that I was aware of your visit to him, for which I would reward you? And let me go, I'm going to finish this whole hadith of saying from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But this first part I want you to look at, where Allah asking, okay, look, this person was sick. If you were to visit that person, I would have been aware of the visit, and I would reward you for it. I was there. That's where I was. And then Allah also said, O son of Adam, I asked for food from you, but you did not feed me. He will submit, my Rabb, how can I feed you, and you are Rabb of the world, meaning the Lord of the worlds? He will say, did you not know that such a slave of mine asked you for food, but you did not feed him? Did you not realize that if you had fed him, you would have certainly have found its reward with me? O son of Adam, I asked water from you, but you did not give it to me. He would say, my Rab, or my Lord. How can I give you water, and you are the Rab, the Lord of the world? Thereupon he would say, such and such a slave of mine asked you for water to drink, but you did not give it to him. Did you not realize that if you had given him to drink, you would have found its reward with me? So Allah asked in these basic things. I asked for food. I asked for water. I asked for something to drink. You didn't do these things. Oh, this person was sick. You would have found me there with the person who is sick. I would give you rewards to visit a person who is sick. A person, someone wants to need something to eat. I would have gave you a reward for that. Or something to drink. I would gave you the reward for that. These are all the things that Allah needs something, some food or something to eat or something to drink. All the things I mentioned to you all earlier. I read to you all earlier. Of course, visiting the sick. Had you visited the sick, you would have found me there. You would have found me there giving you the reward for visiting a person who is sick. So my beautiful students, next time a person asks for something to drink, give them something to drink. They ask you for some food, give them some food. And visit the people who are sick, who are ill. Of course, if it does not cause any problem to you or no harm to you, are you going to catch whatever they have? Of course, you have to use your common sense regarding that. But if the person is sick, you visit them. It's like the gathering of fruits from paradise. Person is sick, you visit them because the angels pray for you. 70,000 angels, 70 angels, 1,000 angels pray for you. From morning to night and from night to morning. It was also mentioned that the Prophet, may peace be upon him, said, he who visits his brother in faith remain engaged in picking the fresh fruits from the garden of Jannah, meaning paradise, till he returns. I have read this similar thing to you earlier. The fresh fruits from the garden. You continue to do that and pick them until you return home. Just simply doing what? Just simply going to visit your brother or visit your sister or visit someone in the hospital. And one day you may be the one living in the hospital or lying down in the hospital or being in the hospital and maybe in the hope that someone to visit you or someone will pray for you or you pray for them. Come on, folks, you have the time. You're on your computer, you're on your phone, you're doing other things on your tablet, whatever. You're doing nothing, watching football, whatever. You're doing really nothing. You get the blessings of going to visit that individual. Allah may bless you for going to visit an individual who is sick. Now, let me talk about some cures for people who are sick. These are simple things. The Messenger of Allah, may peace be blessed upon him, he visited me, this is a particular individual, Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas, during my illness, and supplicated, O Allah, cure Sa'd. O Allah, cure Sa'd. O Allah, cure Sa'd. It's simple dua, simple supplication we can make for the person. We're in here seeing Sister Fatima, for example. O Allah, cure Sister Fatima. Cure Fatima. Oh Allah, cure Fatima. Oh Allah, cure Fatima. Oh, we're going to visit Muhammad. Oh Allah, cure Muhammad. Oh Allah, cure Muhammad. Oh Allah, cure Muhammad. Those simple things you say. If you want to leave, okay, you leave. That's up to you. But please, my students, when a person is sick, sometimes they want to see people. They want people to pray for them. And if you're sick, you may want someone to come and visit you and pray for you and say, oh Allah, cure so-and-so. Oh Allah, cure so-and-so. Oh Allah, cure so-and-so. Falana, cure so-and-so. Also, I want to mention something else, another supplication you can make. The Prophet, may peace be upon him, he said, he who visits a sick person who is not on a point of death, and supplicate seven times. I'm going to say it in English right now for time. I beseech Allah the Great, the Rub of the Great Throne, the Healer, and Allah will certainly heal him from his sickness. Come on, folks. You know people that are sick. You know people need healing. They need help. The doctors and nurses, they do what they can to try to heal the person. But the final, the ultimate is in Allah's hands, of curing that individual. And just you making this simple dua, as I mentioned before, oh Allah, cure so-and-so. Oh Allah, cure so-and-so. Oh Allah, cure so-and-so. Or you say to Allah, oh Allah, I beseech you, I ask you, Allah, the great, the Rub of the great throne, or the Lord of the great throne, to heal. Allah will certainly heal him from his sickness. And of course, let's be sensible. If it's that person's time to die, nothing we can do about that, because that's already written. Every soul we have a taste of death. We don't know when, where, or how we're going to die, but for certain we all are going to die. So if it's time for that person to die, then it's that person, that's the perfect time for them to die. No matter how many prayers you make over that person, it is their time to die, because all of our books are going to close. We have that period or that particular chapter of our life where everything, we have no more pages left in our book of life. They're blank because we are now dead, or that individual is now dead. It is also related by that the Prophet, peace be upon him, he visited a Bedouin who was sick. Whenever he visited an ailing person, he would say, no harm. It will be a purification from sins if Allah's wills. That's what it would say to the individual. He would say, La basa tahurum inshallah. Okay, and so he basically saying there's no harm, labasa, and it will be a purification from sins, which is tahurun, inshallah, if Allah wills. So just saying it's just simple things. Simple things to help this individual. You can play this particular episode again, so you can hear these different supplications you can make on your own. That would be up to you. Play it again. Let someone hear it. You can even look these up. You go online. You go to a masjid and go and ask the imam there, the leadership there, to teach you about these things that I'm saying to you. But these are things coming straight from the saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, that these are things that he used to say to the people and what the people used to say. Like when he said, oh Allah, cure so-and-so, this is what he used to say. Or he would say, no harm, it will be a purification from sins, inshallah, if Allah wills it to happen. I want to read this other one to you, this other hadith to you, is that Jibril, the angel Jibril, came to the Prophet, may peace be upon him, and said, oh Muhammad, do you feel sick? He said, yes. Jibril supplicated thus, meaning he did what he called ruqya. Ruqya is, that's kind of a supplication a person makes. They blow into their hand a few times and they rub it over the person's body. I'm going to read it in English because our time is really, really running out. And he said, with the name of Allah, I recite over you to cleanse you from all that troubles you, and from every harmful mischief, and from the evil of eyes of the envier. Allah will cure you, and with the name of Allah, I recite over you. Okay, I'm going to read it again. With the name of Allah, I recite over you, to cleanse you from all that troubles you, and from every harmful mischief, and from the evil of the eyes of the envier. Allah will cure you, and with the name of Allah, I recite over you. So if you know a person who is sick, you can say what Jibril said over the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Or what the Prophet, may peace be upon him, said earlier about no harm, it will be a supplication, it will be a purification from sins, inshallah, if Allah's will. And of course, O Allah, cure what? He said, O Allah, cure so-and-so. O Allah, cure so-and-so. O Allah, cure so-and-so. Also, I had mentioned about the other supplication. I beseech Allah the Great, the Rabb of the Great Throne, to heal you. Allah will certainly heal him from that sickness. I want to read to you all, and then, of course, what I read about Jibril. And this is very important for a person to say if Allah decides to take the individual's soul, and that is the message of Allah, and peace be upon him. He said, he whose last words are La ilaha illallah, there is no God except Allah, will enter Jannah. You will see sometimes a Muslim, maybe some of you work in the medical field, and you may have a Muslim patient, and he may or she may keep saying this thing over and over again. They may say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Or they may say, La ilaha illallah. These are the things that they're trying to say if they're on the verge of dying. They want to make sure the last thing on their lips will be the what they call the Shahada, or Shahadatain, saying that there's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, or the servant and messenger of Allah, or the last messenger of Allah. Any of those combinations, Allah knows best. It's okay to do it, Allah, Allahu A'lam. And so, my beautiful students, I encourage you to visit the sick, the blessings of visiting the sick, and also some cures for helping a person who is sick and a person who is dying, particularly a person who is Muslim, and they say, La ilaha illallah, will enter Jannah, will enter the paradise. To find out more about this faith, this Islamic faith, and increase your knowledge of Islam, please visit Why Islam. You can Google it, or the International Online University, or you can go to American Open University, and these two universities, they will teach you more about Islam. You can receive certificates or papers or even diplomas or degrees from these universities, understanding Islam even more. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.